Good morning, again. Boy, it's been good back. It's been six services since I haven't been here. Who's counting, right? But I'm thankful to be back with everybody this morning. Praise the Lord for that. I miss when I'm not at my church, and I thank the Lord for that desire to be here. I'm going to be over in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, if you want to turn there for a minute, please. I'll be over there. Again, I always say this because I love confirmation. I do love it. And in the teaching this morning, I believe Greg had said something about us being, we need to be the examples, more or less what he was saying. And I'm going to kind of go down those lines here this morning with that. Also, what got me to this sermon, I went to Walmart the other day, me and my wife, and we had our grandson with us. And while we were there, we ran into some other people from the church, and they were there. And they had their son, they had a son with them, and then they also had another child with them. And they were there at Walmart. And what got me to thinking about it, you know how the Lord, and I say this so many times, the Lord gives me so many avenues which he gives me sermons through. But one of the things that I got to thinking about was, you know, here it is, this generational thing again that the Lord just keeps coming back to me and showing me about. And I got to looking at that, and I got the thing, and the Lord started impressing upon me. And I named my sermon, "It's All About the Genes." Now, just bear with me a little bit, and we'll get to it here shortly, what I'm trying to get to. But I'm in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. I'm going to start with the 22nd verse. If you would this morning, if you're able, please stand. Let's read some scripture together this morning. Proverbs 23, 22 through 26. And again, this is what the scripture says. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and sell it not, and also wisdom, and instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Now, I got a question for you this morning. Can you say that that child or that grandchild that's under your care or around you all the time, can you say, "Watch me in everything that I do"? Watch me in everything that I do. Let me show you the Lord's ways. Right? Let me show you the Lord's way. Let us pray this morning. Father, as I come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving again with my heart, Lord. I praise you. I want to give you all the glory that you so rightly deserve, Lord. Father, I pray as I always do, Lord, get me out of the way this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon this service this morning, be upon my lips this morning, Lord. I pray that hearts would be opened up here this morning, Lord. And I pray, Father, that everything said and done here today would only bring you glory and would only bring you honor. And we want to give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. I like that. I'd like to preach a little bit on, the Lord allowed me this morning. What are you passing down to your family? What are you passing down to your family? Because your faith and my faith will be tested, because every succeeding generation's faith will be tested. My faith's been tested. Your faith has been tested. You go back and talk to our grandparents and our people. Their faith was tested. Maybe in a different way, but brothers and sisters, it was tested. We better understand as parents and as grandparents, what you believe and practice will be tested. It will. What you say, what you believe, will be tested at times in your life. What you believe will be pushed to the limits. Absolutely. It will be. And in some cases, it'll be kicked against. Anybody ever had anything in your life kicked against a little bit? Oh, I have. Many times. And you know what? It may be walked on and sometimes walked away from by even your kids and your grandkids at times. And you're down through the years. It may happen. Who knows? But we must never forget that in this battle, it is a battle that we cannot afford to lose. We can't afford to lose it. So how can we successfully transfer our faith to the next generation? If you live it, you can successfully leave it. Amen? You're going to have to live it before those people that you that are there. You'll have to live it. It can't be one of those things. If all you do is talk about it, and you live another way at the house, it's not going to work. It never will work. It can't work. Because, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, people around us are not dumb. Our kids are not dumb. They see us. You will leave a legacy. If you live one way, if you talk one way at church and live another way at home, you will live a legacy, but it will not be one that will prepare the next generation for the battle that they will face. You will not. They will see the phoniness in your life. They will see it absolutely. But if you live a faith-filled life, if you and I live a faith-filled life, one that not only talks the talk, but lives it, you pass down, and I'm going to say, these Holy Spirit genes to your children and to your grandchildren. You'll pass it down that will endure in their lives and the lives of their grandchildren. Do you realize that what you're doing today will live on, if the Lord doesn't come back to get his church, will live on way beyond your lifespan? Do you realize that here this morning? Because I have people in my life that I've known that have long gone on to be with the Lord. But you know what? They still affect my life, and they still will affect you. And you know people in your lives that will still affect your life as long as you live. They will do that. You will pass down good genes. I'm going to say that will endure in the lives and the lives of your grandkids and will prepare you and them for the battles that they will face. But here's the key. Here's the key that the Lord has showed me this week. And I wrote this down after about this sermon. What you wholeheartedly believe is the only what you will pass down. You understand that? What you wholeheartedly believe. Not just because it's written in the Bible. The Bible is full of good things for all of us. But do you wholeheartedly believe it enough to live it the way that God wants us to live it? But do you do it with all your heart, believe, and faithfully practice what is written in these pages and on the pages of this Bible? That's why we have to be rock solid in what we believe. Every one of us has to be rock solid. You know what? It means to actively seek the truth of God. Do you know that? Buy the truth and sell it not. It means you must actively seek the truth of God's word and don't let the world distract you from it. That's what you have to do. Again, if you don't live it, you won't leave it. And if you don't believe it, you won't live it. Listen, there are people, you know what? The Lord said that he could come back anytime. Do we really believe that? Because if we really believed that, wouldn't you think we'd be living sometimes at a more attitude of, hey, listen, he could come back today. Listen, he could come back this moment. I'm standing up here preaching, and I believe wholeheartedly he could split the eastern sky right now and come back to get his church. I hope we believe that. If we did that, we'd live like he was going to be here. Listen to me. Listen, if someone's coming over to your house to visit, don't you try to take care and get the house ready? Maybe you try to take a little bit extra care to get it ready, right? Maybe you do that. And why? Because somebody's coming. Listen, we have right here today, Jesus is coming back. Be ready. Be prepared. You have got to have a biblical standard, and you've got to have convictions based on the Bible, not what I say. Listen to me, not what I say. I don't want you standing back here fearing what Dave thinks. That ain't the whole point. Listen, it's biblical standards, Bible standards, not what Dave says. And you have to permeate that from your life each and every day. It has to come. In our scripture reading this morning, verse 23 tells us four things we need to buy and to sell it not. Buy the truth, it says, buy wisdom, buy instruction, and buy understanding. That's the four things that it tells us to. What we need to do is grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of all four of those things and don't get rid of them from what the world has to offer you. Don't get rid of them. Every generation has to grab a hold of the truth, every one of them, and never let go of it. Every one of them. Every generation will be tested in their own special way. Every generation's faith will be tested. Those testings will come in three in the same three ways. The Bible tells us there are three ways everybody is tempted. And that's over in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the desires for worldly pleasure, by the way, and the lust of the eyes, that's materialism, and the pride of life, you know what that is, being proud of your position in life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are the three ways everybody is tempted. Every one of them. And every generation is tempted. But we're tempted maybe in different ways through those three different avenues. Every one of us are. My grandparents, if they were alive today, I could pull them back and bring them up here today, they couldn't imagine what we have at our fingertips today. No way. But brother, the same ways of tempting is still through those same ways, but in different avenues. That's where we have to buy the truth and get a hold of it. And the truth of God's word will never be compromised and never waver from it. Never. So we need to stand on the faith in God's word and never sell it, no matter what kind of pressure the world tries to put on us. I think about how many parents... Now listen to me, this isn't a bad thing, but I think of how many parents will sacrifice their own time, sometimes their own needs, their own wants, to make sure that their families are taken care of. Right? I think we've all done that. There's not a thing wrong with that. And I'm here to listen, not only now, but also the future. That's what you do. That's how it's calling leaving a financial legacy for your family. We have done that, everybody's done it. But I want to tell you, yes. That's important. But I also want to say this. But there is a legacy that lasts an eternity, not just a lifetime. Because there are times, those things that we give them sometimes and lay out there that are not bad things, that will help them, those will only last their lifetime. But praise God, when you show them about Jesus, when you stand on the Word of God, and you pass that down through the years, I'm here to tell you this morning, that is something that will last eternity with that family. And can I tell you amen this morning for that? Praise His name. Listen, our children, our grandchildren can say without hesitation that, you know what, when they look at you, that you lived what you said that you were. You lived it. You listen to me. Can your grandchildren and can your children, whenever you're dead and gone, stand and honestly say, hey, listen, they lived what the Word of God said. They were what the Word of God said. Look at it this way. Most of us know what hand-me-downs are, don't we? Anybody in here know what hand-me-downs is? I know most of the older generation pretty much knows what it is. You know, if you had older siblings, guess what? They had some stuff that, you know what, was still usable. It was passed down to you. It was passed down, whether it be clothes, whether it be toys, no matter what it may be, it was passed down, especially if you had a lot of siblings. I think my wife can talk about that to that point too, a little bit. But, you know, it was a way to save money, right? We also know that we have hand-me-down genes that are in our body. Today, they do so many DNA testing today. Did you know what? They can tell you what area of the world you came from. They can tell you that. And also, through the DNA testing, they can tell what diseases you're susceptible to. Usually, does that mean that you're going to get them? No. But this says, there's a good chance it says, you know what, that they could come down through those genes. You know what you are? You are a composite of your mother and your father, and your grandfather and your grandmother. You are a composite of them. And your kids are a composite of you as well. Moms and dads, you can pass so much down to your children. We know that. More than anything else, though, can I tell you this? We need to pass down a spiritual legacy that will last for their entire life. I thought about that at the Walmart the other day. There was a mom, a dad, a son, and a grandchild standing right there. There was me and my wife and our grandson standing right there. Listen to me. We have so much influence over those kids that we don't realize it. That praise God this morning, I'm telling you, we need to leave them something. Leave them something other than just financial or other than just material things. We need to leave them a spiritual a spiritual legacy that when they look at it, they understand, hey, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, they were the real deal. They were the real deal. You see, you get up and you get, they see you get up and go to church faithfully. Do they see you do that? They hear you talking about how important it is to go to church. We all know church doesn't save you. We know that. We all know all that stuff. But praise God, when the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of yourself together, shouldn't that mean something? Shouldn't that be the legacy that we leave our children and our grandchildren, that they know, hey, grandma and papa and mom and dad, brother, they went to church. They went to church. Why? Because we need to be amongst God's people. It's not because we want to get dressed and come to church. It's not because we just want to be pointed out and say, hey, look at me, I'm a church. That's not it. It's because we need to be in the presence of God's people, learning God's word, listening to the testimonies of the people. Brother, praise God, I'm telling you what, testimonies help. They do. Listen, when you do that, you're leaving a mark on your family. You're leaving a mark on them, and it's a good mark, and your family will see that. They see you putting money into the collection plate. And no, I don't preach on money all the time. But brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you what. When they see you putting money into the collection plate and not complaining about it, listen to me, because true giving comes from a thankful and a glad heart. I love this scripture. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves what? A cheerful giver. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. If a collection plate comes around and a special offering comes around and you begrudgingly put it in there, you might as well keep it and put it back in your pocket. Amen? You don't, God don't need it. Absolutely. He don't need it. He said he loves a cheerful giver. He loves, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. I am one of the preachers that do believe that God blesses those that give cheerfully. He does. And listen, also, they don't hear you talking about other people in a derogatory manner. Amen or oh my. You know? Do your kids see you consistently bickering? You're passing on what they see, whether you know it or not, you're passing it on. That's what you're doing. James 1:26 says this, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is what? It's vain. It's vain. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. I've caught myself sometimes, Greg, wanting to run my mouth. This is your preacher talking. Wanting to run my mouth when I should be sitting there and praying. Anybody in here ever been that way? Absolutely. Why? Because you know what? I think I know better than God.
Yeah, there you go.
Huh? You tell me that I'm wrong in that. Because when we do that and God's word says do something different, we're saying, hey, listen, God, I know better than you. That's not the case. Listen, you could be a Christian and you could still be falling into that trap. Amen? You could be doing it. Listen, when we talk, it should be about lifting up and not tearing down. I love Psalms 145:4. Tell us how to pass, it tells us how to pass down an uplifting message. Here's what it says. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Next time we have that urge to start doing this about somebody, why don't we open it up and say, hey, listen to what my God did for me. Listen to what my God did for me back in 1974 when he saved my soul. Listen to what he did. He took me and took and lifted my feet out of a mess and planted it on a solid rock. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I can praise him about that. Or I can praise him about how he brought my son out of what he went through. And I can praise him for that this morning. I've got so much to praise him for. I don't need to be running anybody else down. Absolutely.
Do we live according to what our flesh desire or according to what the Spirit wants us to do? The Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. Amen. The Spirit will never act out of hatred. The Spirit will never divide the body of Christ. That's not the Spirit. That's the flesh. Remember that the next time the flesh wants to rise up in you. Anybody in here ever have the flesh rise up in them? I'll raise both hands. All right, you can raise your hand. I'm just telling you. I'm here this morning. I've had the flesh rise up in me more than just once. I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God. I'm looking at leaving a legacy for those that are watching me. That's what we're talking about. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do they see you reading God's Word? And can I say this? God's Word is good no matter where we're at, but you know what? We're in church. We read it. That's fine. All of us are here. We got to read it here. But can I tell you some place that's very important to read it? It's at our homes. It's at our homes. Listen, I don't pick up the Bible like this every day, but I do read on my phone and I listen. And listen, I understand that I do read God's Word every day. A little bit of it. Praise God. Do your kids and your grandkids see you doing that every day? Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this. These are great words. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto who? Thy children. Thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That pretty much covers every time of the day, does it not? That's what he's telling us about the Word of God. Do they see you praying in not only the good times, but the bad times? Amen? Sometimes whenever things are going wrong in our life, we pray, which is good. And people see us pray. But can I tell you something? When life is going good, I think we should be on our knees thanking Him and praising Him for what He is doing right now. Because God is good. He is good all the time. Amen? He is. And Jesus tells us in Luke 18:1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. Do our kids and our grandkids see that legacy out of us? Do they see that? Folks, we know the Scriptures. And the Scriptures tell us to do these things. But do we believe them enough to show them and pass them on to our children and let them know this is the way. This is the way that God wants us to do. Of all the genes that we could pass down to our children, let it be the Holy Ghost genes. Let it be the holy genes. Let it be that. Praise God, if we continue to read His Word, if we pray and live for Christ and shun evil and cleave to that which is good, that you and I will be passing down something that will last an eternity. Maybe I'm talking to someone here this morning that is a first generation Christian. I want to speak to you right now. Listen to me. Listen. And all that you've seen passed down through the years has been drugs and alcoholic addiction and maybe divorce and maybe this and maybe that. I'm telling you, when Jesus saved you, He said, behold, all things become new. Man, what a promise. What a promise. All things become new. Can I tell you something? You are not bound by what happened to you in the past. When Jesus saved you, He saved you. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you, well, it'll never be any different. I beg to differ with him this morning. I tell you this because God said all things become new. You are a new creation in Jesus this morning. Praise His holy name. You know what? Can we just praise God this morning for that? Amen. You know, a quick little side note. I according to statistics, if a parent or a grandparent is addicted or drugs, alcohol, a child has a 60% more chance of being an addict in their life as well. Did you know that? Because the genes that were passed down. Praise God. You know what? Remember the old spot remover called Shout? Remember that old spot remover they used to spray bottle called Shout? Shout it out. Praise God. Can I tell you something this morning? The blood of Jesus. We should be shouting the house down this morning. You want to talk about a spot remover? You want to talk about something that'll take the stains out of your life? Let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Let Him do that for you this morning. Let Him do all that stuff. And praise God, you know what? You can have a shout in your heart again. Praise His name. Ephesians 5, 25, 20. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain, wrinkle, or any other blemish, but by holy and blameless. You know what? That's what Jesus died by the blood, His precious blood. Listen, He died for the church. He died for you. And you may be a first generation Christian and you're thinking, man, what did I, God has brought me out of this. And listen, it doesn't have to be passed down to your children. You can leave them a good legacy. We got a spot remover. It's called the blood of Jesus. And I want to praise Him here this morning. But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, that is what does the trick. That's what does it. What? You don't have to be bound by your past. I am thankful I'm not bound by my past. I'm thankful. Yeah, it doesn't have to define your future. Your past does not have to define what you are in the future. You don't have to live under a curse. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He can do that. Isaiah 43:25 says this, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. Can I tell you something this morning? When you get on your knees and Jesus comes into your heart and saves you, God doesn't remember those sins anymore. You know that? They're gone. He doesn't remember them anymore. You know what? You know who remembers them? All the world does. I guarantee your family will. I guarantee you all, that's because we're of the world. They will remember it, but God doesn't. Tell you something, doesn't that just make you just want to, you know, as old Hayward Gribble used to say, whip a sack full of wildcats? Amen. It should make all of us feel that way. Listen, remember, in Isaiah it says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen, there's a bunch of us that walked in the wilderness one time. But praise be to God, He made a way. He said He would make a way in the wilderness, and He did that for each and every one of us. Thanks be to Jesus that we do not have to be bound by the burdens of our past. You don't have to pass your past failures onto your kids and your grandkids no more. It's done. You don't have to do that. There's a transformation power in the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Man, I'll tell you what. Whenever the flesh starts swelling up a little bit, let me give you a little bit of advice. Just start whispering the name of Jesus over and over and over. Just start whispering the name of Jesus. Jesus, I love you. Jesus. You start whispering that and you watch the devil flee. You watch him go because you know what? There is transformative power in the name of Jesus. Philippians says this, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Amen. I'm going to close with this. Julie, if you don't care, get a song together. Get a song ready. And I'm going to ask all of you in here, because this is important. You answer this for yourself. Not your spouse, not anybody beside of you. You answer this for yourself. What kind of a gene are you passing down to your children? What kind of a legacy are you passing down to your children? Because when you're dead and gone, They'll remember, all right. They'll remember. And I'm here to tell you, what do you want them to remember about you? Are you what you say you are? Are you, do you do what the God of the Word of the Word tells us to do? I'm here to tell you this morning. To me, that's important. And I hope that's important to you this morning as well. If you have a need this morning, please come.